was glad. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. I was glad when they said unto me. And I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his court with all my praise. And I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, 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 oh, let us go. And I will enter, and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with all my praise. And I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made. I will enter, hallelujah. I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter his courts with all my praise. And I will say, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, yes, now he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, I was glad when they said unto me.
I want to sing, This Is the Day,
amen.
Page 60.
This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord hath made.
We've all been waiting for it.
I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, my.
You know, he said that golden age. Pastor Moore was even talking about it at the cookout.
Yeah.
Appreciate the Brinkmans for opening up in their house. But that golden hour.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, my. You know what I love about light is that no matter, you see, this is what Satan will have you believe, that maybe you got a small light, or the world will have you trying to dim your light. But if you have light, it casts out all darkness.
Period. Amen.
Period. You know?
That's right.
Oh, you can look at somebody and go, oh, that's a big light. That's a small light. But if you're light, Light is light.
That's
don't
right.
try to divide it up. You know, you do construction, it's you got yellow light, white light, all of it. It's light. When you just got light, it casts out all darkness.
Right.
The matter of fact, the darker it is, the less light you really need.
That's right.
That's exactly.
You know, you've been in those caves and you just have just a little bit, it'll guide everything
you
need. But I thank God that we don't have just a little light. We got a total light.
Oh,
we don't have no darkness around us.
Light.
When you have full light, you don't even have shadows. You know that? And so you can go one side or the other with that. But when you got full light, you don't even have shadows.
Yeah.
There's no groping in darkness at all.
No.
And then what day is that going to be like that? This day.
Yeah.
This day
right
is
now.
Right now is when that is. So this is the day that the Lord has made.
This
Amen. Page 60.
Amen.
It's an oldie but goodie.
Yes, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that my Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I know that this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let's sing that again. Hallelujah.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in. Yes, now this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad.
I got to say something.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to say. All kinds of things run through your head. And say, well, just start saying something.
Amen.
But you know, there's darkness all around.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Never seen the light. It seems like it works all the time. But to have that light, have that hope.
Yeah.
You know, when they prayed in the Old Testament, they looked towards Jerusalem.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that was their hope.
Yeah.
And,
boy,
we look towards this revelation.
Amen.
Look towards the body change.
That's
we look
right.
towards what God has shown us, what God has given us. Seemed like they've just lost their ever-loving mind, as somebody once said. They just, they got no foundation. They rejected every bit of truth, every bit of teaching.
Right.
You know, somebody was explaining the other day about, third generation, how that, you know, the first generation, he gets his business together, he builds it up, he, you know, puts all he's got into it.
Yeah.
And his son kind of sees that. He grows up around that, you know. So when his son takes over, You know, his son kind of knows what it took to get there.
Yeah.
But when the grandson takes over, it goes bankrupt. He ain't got nothing in him. He ain't come through nothing. And I think his generation, you know, just last, well, three generations probably, you know, we've got away from everything. I mean, my dad did well.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty good. But what's the next generation got? Well, it's amazing.
Right.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
How corrupt it is. How, you know, it makes you just want to stay in your little place, you know, and let the world go by. You know, the Bible says, fret not yourself over evildoers.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Take no thought.
Right.
You know, and it just, I'm thankful for this. I mean, I can rejoice in this.
Right.
I enjoy coming to the house of God, you know.
Yeah.
Whether my flesh wants to or not, I know I'll come here always lifted up.
Yeah.
Always renewed, always made to look at things fresh and new, and always something else to spur me on.
Amen.
You know, it's not just same old things, not just pure stirring up my pure mind, but it's something new and something fresh.
Right.
And after, 45 years, it's still fresh.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it, first time been here. I feel like Skyler, you know, and you know, it's just new. It's fresh.
Right.
And I enjoy this. I praise God for it.
Yes.
I praise God for my family. I praise God for my little corner of the world.
Amen.
You know, I got everything I ever wanted.
Amen.
You know, He's blessed me beyond.
Amen.
And, you know, it's amazing. I thank Him for my wife.
Yeah.
I don't say much about her, but I love her
beyond.
She's stood with me through thick and thin and thin and thick and thin and thin and thinner. You know, she's been there. No questions. She's always right there doing her part, raising the family, keeping me fed, and always there. And I appreciate her so much, you know.
Right.
And you look at things, you can always find fault. You know, you look at yourself, always find fault.
Yeah.
But you know what? His love cuts through all of it.
That's right.
Everything I could possibly do wrong, His love cuts through it. And it's the same thing with one another, same thing with our spouses, same thing with our children.
Yeah.
Love's the strongest force.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You talk about that little light.
Yeah.
We have a outlet on our barn, and there's a tiny, tiny little light on that outlet, but you can see that light from the house.
Yeah.
You know, that light shines. You know, September's always a special month for me because that's when I came to the message.
Yeah. Amen.
Thinking about that 43 years ago.
Wow.
I was a 25-year-old man. Now I'm a 68-year-old man. And you know, this revelation, this truth, it never gets old.
No.
It just gets brighter. Yeah. And I see God in this day and age. He's working quick.
Right. Yes.
I look back when I came, it took me a little while. You know, it took me a little while. And I was always looking for the wrong thing. But by the grace of God, let me tell you, you'll get it.
You'll get it. Amen.
And I've got it now.
Amen.
And I have staked my life on that thing. And I've lived my life for that thing.
Yes.
And everything I've done has been for this word and this revelation. And Brother Don, you are right. We have wonderful wives.
Yes.
You know, I was cutting the grass the other day and just meditating on my wife and just thinking what a good woman she is and what she's done and what she's given up and how she took care of our kids and how she'd stay up late at night with the kids and talk when they needed to talk. And still, when I got up at 3:45 in the morning, she would get up right with me. And how she just gives everything.
Right.
You know, there is a manifestation.
Yes.
Right. You know, there is a giving. There is, you know, there is a sacrifice. You know, this is all free. God's done it all for us.
Right.
But there is something to be done.
Right.
And I thank God for that. But I thank God to know that the truth of it is a gift. The truth of it that I didn't do anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not good in any way. But the inside is perfect.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Perfect. It's the same thing I'll have on the other side. There's not going to be any change.
No.
That soul is perfect.
Yeah,
right.
Soul.
Right.
And I thank God for that revelation.
Amen.
Because that's what I drive my stake in. When Satan comes at me, when circumstances come at me, the revelation, my soul, the truth, knowing who I am, knowing that, you know, just the fact that He showed me this is proof that I'm going to go all the way.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Right.
No doubt.
Amen.
No doubt.
God bless you.
Amen.
Perfect love.
Cast out all
fear. All fear.
I've been blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Just to know this word.
Oh, yes.
The truth.
My goodness.
You know, Brother John, everything he said, I believe.
Amen.
how his wife is such a good little wife, and I appreciate her, you know, just being here. I've always looked up to her as long as she's been here, because there was something about her that she was going to go on through this and be married to John, be a good wife. I remember when she came here years ago, and I am so thankful to be her sister.
Right.
You know, I don't know what to say when I get up here. I just know the pull it is to bring me to up here.
Yeah.
It's nothing more than to say, I'm glad to be here. Glad to know this truth.
Amen.
And you know, Brother John and Sister Dawn, you know, out there that invited me to the, or they invited us all. But it was such a godly fellowship.
Right.
Yeah. I can't explain it. You know, they opened their house out to us. They had food and fellowship, most of all. And, you know, I'm so thankful for them.
Yeah.
Not only them. Well, I'm thankful for every brother in here, every sister.
Yeah. Amen.
But I am thankful to see these men take the role of a husband and keep our sisters in line.
Amen.
It's where it comes from. It's from your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so thankful, because I've not been that way. Just be truthful. I tried to listen to my husband, and I was being tore every which way. Wanted to be here. Wanted to be with him. Fulfilling what I was supposed to be doing with him. It wasn't a very good life, but God took me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
I can look back now, and I could see a sister where if they're in, you know, having problems, I can see it, but I don't open my mouth. I just pray, you know. But sisters, you got good husbands. I think it's brag on Husband's Day. That's all I've heard in two or three. But, you know, I love my brothers.
Yeah.
And when I got ready to leave the bar out there, I thought, how am I going to get out of here without falling?
Uh-huh.
And Satan puts a fear on me all the time. That's the reason I override it.
Amen.
And do some of the things that Satan would say, you're going to do this, you're going to fall, you don't need to go, you know. Mm-hmm. This is what I go through with a lot of stuff. But God knows what desire my heart.
Amen.
And I am so thankful. I was thinking, how am I going to get to the car? First of all, when I got there, all these cars were there. It's parked on the grass, and it's way up there. And I thought, what am I going to do here? Well, I've got my cane, you know. Am I going to park way back here? That's a long ways to walk, you know, just going to. And then I seen Brother John and Sister Lise, and I telling me to come on. And I thought, well, I don't have to walk, maybe, you know. But, you know, I've been so thankful that when I got ready to come home, Brother Dwayne was sitting there beside me, and I said, when are you going to go up that way? I was hitching a ride, you know. and he said, you ready to go? And I said, yes. Well, he helped me, and here comes Brother James, you know, dear brothers.
Right.
I mean, just,
careful.
I see so much in my brothers. And tell you the truth, I see not in this congregation, but I've seen so much of the wives buck them, and somewhere, you know, just nothing else, just a smart remark, you know, to them. And I am so thankful God allowed me to see all this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so thankful for that fellowship Friday night. It was beautiful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Come on, Sister Sway. God bless you.
Well, I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here either, but I thought about it. Yes, it is. I had a really rough week. I got a call. It comes around to good, though. I always tell myself, I'm not going to cry when I get here, but I just, it never works. I've been trying to prepare myself the night before, like, okay, I'm going to testify. I'm not going to cry, but I just think this is where you can be yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Thank God.
But I had got a call. I hadn't talked to my best friend in about 5 years. And her son, he smashed into a tree and he died. He was 30 years old, a year younger than my son. He had been battling a heroin addiction. And I hadn't talked to her, like I said, in 5 years because we were just going in two different directions. And I think there's a time and a place when you need to grow up and try to have just a better life. And when I got divorced, I always told myself I wanted to get the toxic things out of my life. I wanted to have a better life.
Yeah.
I was raised better than that. And so I was debating or not to go to the funeral. And I went, and it was a beautiful service. You know, I've been battling a lot between my illness and then that, and then taking care of my mom. My mom had a stroke, and then she broke her leg, and then she couldn't walk. And my mom really wears me and my sister out, and Kevin knows that. He's worn out now, too. Because she'll give you one thing to do, and they give you three more things to do. I'm like, Mom, I haven't even finished the first time,
yeah.
You know. And so what I wanted to come around to was that after the funeral, they had, like, a party and, like, a celebration of his life. And I want to tell the young people out here, there's really, the young people are just not, the majority of them are not doing things right. And my children were there. My oldest boy was there. My daughter, who's pregnant, was there. And then my youngest boy, I don't take him to those things because with his autism, it's just too much. And I'm glad I didn't take Kevin either because Kevin asked me, could he support me? And I said, yeah, but I really didn't want him to go because I know how these group of people turn up and it's on another level. And it was very uncomfortable because I told Kevin I've never seen so many drugs in my life, and I'm thinking to myself, this boy died of drugs, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that night the drugs didn't kill him, but I'm sure it did because he nodded off and he smashed into a tree. But Kevin asked me, because I was so worn out, are you sure you want to go to this church gathering? And I thought, yeah, because to have something like that in your life, it was just, to me, devastating. And then just to after it, just to see what the world is still doing, it's like, if that hasn't taught you a lesson, I don't know what will.
Right, sure.
You know, and my son was, you know, he ate, and he was like, well, I'm going to go, Mom, you know, and I thanked God. I hugged him, and I said, you know, I thank God for being a great son. I've never had to go through anything like this with my children, like far as what this picnic looked like. But it was such a blessing to go to a church function where it's normal. And it's happy and
right.
It's cheerful,
yeah.
And people want to be together and
yeah.
They want to love in the right way and they want to do the right things. And I'm so blessed too to have found Kevin, because if I never found Kevin, I would have never found the church.
Right.
So, and then, you know, Kevin, you know, he told me certain things about the church. He's like, well, people think this about our church, this. And I said, well, anybody that helped make you the man that you are, which I know is Pastor Moore.
Right.
How can I look down upon it? Because he's such a great guy. Like I used to even tell him when we first met, even if we don't work out, he is a great man. He is a great guy. And this church is a great place.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I'm blessed to have this church.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. It's beautiful. Somebody there?
If I don't get up here and talk, I thought I'm standing up here. I don't have a chance to run back now. But God told me to do two things today, so I said I'm going to obey, no matter how much it's pushing me out of my comfort zone. And one is to read a poem that I wrote, and the second one is to play a song.
Amen.
But I thank God for answered prayers for
Amen.
How we think things should go. But they don't go the way we think they should go.
Right.
But then you get that prayer answered, and it's the way God wants it to go.
Amen.
And it's just a blessing, because I see it all through my family and things that are happening. And, I mean, and I'm calling my children back here. I mean, look, my husband's here.
Yes.
And as Pastor Moore told me, leave it alone. Don't peck at it. Just leave it alone. I left it alone. You know, I was bursting like, ooh, look what God did today. You know, hopefully, you know, it'll wear. And it did. But God was doing his own thing, so I had to obey. And so now I'm up here trying to obey. And what was on my mind, I have a love for eagles. And I'm getting somewhere with this. I hope I didn't erase it. Oh, no, here it is. Eagles have a vision. They're fearless. These are just some characteristics. They nurture their young. They symbolize hope and strength. They believe to soar to unknown realms. And they bestow a freedom of courage and a renewal of life. And I wrote this poem years and years ago. And it just, when I read it, it was like, this is where I want to be spiritually. It just kind of just brought life to it. So even though at the time I wrote it, I didn't know. But it's called Eagle's Wings. I fell asleep one night. I dreamed I was an eagle in the sky. How I flew above the trees, no fear of flying high. I flew above the oceans, and I flew above the sea. I had a peace within my soul. I felt so loose and free. I did not want to land because the wind beneath my wings kept me high above the ground, not bothered by a thing. The air so crisp, the sky so blue, the sun a ball of red. I finally awoke to realize I was still in my own bed. So I hope and pray that I will be that eagle high in flight, to land upon that mountain peak to see God so clear in sight.
Amen.
I never want to take a chance, an opportunity to thank God for this end time revelation, for having an ear to hear, and for having a wonderful, perfect husband and pastor. And no matter how many, God did all of it. I didn't do any of this. Tracy, is that you? Praise God, my niece is here. Praise the Lord. But the truth that we have and the patience that my husband shows me, it's God to me. And you know, in this day and age, there's very few ladies left. People, women of God that obey and believe the word of God and live their lives accordingly. God has been somehow gracious enough to me to allow me to be among the congregation of the blessed, and I am thankful for it. Now we're gonna attempt. You know, the funny thing about it, when God asks you to do something, it's usually out of your comfort zone. Because then you gotta trust him. So we're gonna go ahead and play a song if I can get on this.
I think y'all might be familiar with it. It's the blood will never lose its power. I'm standing at a good spot. Thank you.
me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain. Blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. No, it will never. Oh, it will never lose.
The testimonies.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes. You need a mic? Are you coming out? Oh, come on up.
So, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So today I wasn't going to say anything. But coming to church, coming here, you remind me so much of my dad. And I miss him so very much.
Yes.
So very much, and
yes.
So you talked about light, and my dad talked about light all the time, and I thought I would read his favorite psalm, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though hosts shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Amen. The war shall rise against me, and this will I be confident. Yeah. One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold in the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Yes, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yes. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said, unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not my face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me into a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so that psalm became one of my favorites, because I could hear my dad saying, you are a McMillan, you know. You are a McMillan. Keep your head up and be a light. And so whenever I walk into a room, I try to be a light. I try to be a light. And I know that I am light. I am light. And so thank you so much just for loving me. Thank you for loving me and my Aunt Mel and everybody. Thank you for loving me. I can't sing today. I can't even stop crying. When I walked in the door, I started crying. So...
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. A couple announcements real fast. Appreciate the Brinkmans. We were at their house Friday.
Amen.
It was a beautiful fellowship. Then September the 25th, we got church pictures. Do not forget. Please don't be late. October the 15th through the 16th weekend, we're going to South Carolina. And then November the 20th, we got a church Thanksgiving. We're going to be eating food here. Appreciate the testimonies. Appreciate the songs. Say that again. Bible study tonight. Oh, it's back on. Yeah. It just took a small break with Brother June preaching. So tonight we'll have Bible study. It resumes tonight. So look forward to God answering our questions. I look forward to answering them now, though, too.
Amen.
You know, this morning I'm looking forward to services.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing page 216, Born to Fly, key of A.
Amen.
The psalm says, renew your strength like wings of eagles. You'd be able to go up.
Yeah.
And my sister was talking about that poem, The Eagles, Born to Fly.
Kive.
What's it like to be an eagle and to fly? What's it like to leave the nest and soar the sky? Well, I don't know just how it feels, but someday I know I will. For there's something telling me I was born to fly. And I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. I'm gonna leave this world behind for better things. Oh, very soon I'll say goodbye. I'm gonna wing my way to the eastern sky. My soul is ready to leave. I was born to fly. For so long this nest of life has fettered me, and my soul has longed so much to be set free. But no house of clay can hold me when he comes in the clouds of glory. When I hear him call my name, I'm gonna fly away. And I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. For better Father, we come this morning so thankful to be an eagle. Soar higher than any other bird. See farther than any other bird. And Lord, we're helpers one another, just like the eagles. Lord, we come here this morning to help and to be helped. We come to give back to the body and to be a source of information for them. And Lord, they also come here to be a source of information for us. It's eagles helping eagles. Lord, we ask you to move on behalf of the different requests that are out there that I know about, Father. Lord, there's people who need a touch from you. And we need to hear from you and ask you to send forth your word, Father. We're also thankful for you answering our prayers. Those that you've already answered and we're aware of, Lord, and we want to just take a moment to say thank you one more time. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for supplying all of our needs. Thank you for hearing us when we call on you, Lord. Lord, as we come to this part of the service, we ask you to move everything aside, Lord. Bind any hindering spirit that might try to hinder your word from coming forth today. And loose a spirit of acceptance to your word. That the people that hear the sound of my voice won't hear my voice, but they'll hear your voice. Amen. That it won't be me speaking, Lord, but it'll be you speaking. That, Lord, that you could take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart and let it be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for this day. And as we open up the Bible, Lord, open up our hearts and speak to us, Lord. Ask you to continue to remember those that have asked for prayer, Sister Early's brother and Trevor, just continue to remember him and Sister Donna and different ones. John and Dawn still need a touch from you, Lord. Ask you to continue to keep us before you, Lord, knowing that by your stripes we're already healed. And that, Lord Jesus, you've already paid the price for everything we are asking for. So it's not hard for you to give it to us. And you said that we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, this morning we're asking in belief and faith. Thank you for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, good to have my Tracy with us, and it's always good to see her. It's always good to see you all and have you all with us as well. Don't get jealous. I'm happy to see you too. So it's good to be here. I bring you greetings from Brother Fred Mullins. I talked to him this morning. Amen. They're excited about the upcoming services and about the trip that's just ahead of us and about a month away from today or somewhere close around this time that we'll be heading to Florence, South Carolina. Amen. On a family trip. Amen. So we're going to be making last plans. I say we. I ain't done a thing. And Brother Fred asked me what hotel it was. I said, I don't know. I have to look it up. I had to go look it up because I don't know. John gave me that information. And I'm looking forward to the trip. It seems like it's getting bigger by the day. I talked to him. He's having some brothers come up from Florida, and some different ones are coming, and they're bringing their congregations. And so this is turning out to be a real big trip. So that's fine. It's good. I always get in the middle of something, and I never know what it's going to be until after I'm already stuck. It's like, I can't back out now. And he said, there might be 300 people there. I'm like, oh, Lord. And I wasn't trying to go to preach. Not really. I just want to take y'all on a trip. And you know how that all turns out. It just ends up bigger than what you want. I told Fred this morning, I said, we're going to have church when we get down there. We're going to have church on the way down. Yeah. Since you left the driving to the driver. Amen. We're going to ride on a big passenger bus together. Spend a little time together, so we'll have church on the bus on the way, church down there. We'll probably sleep on the way back. It depends on how tired we are, but he's planning on us being there, and they're planning on having dinner after service on Sunday morning before we leave, so we'll get a chance to get to meet some of the congregation, and I've met them, but they'll be good to meet, so I'm looking forward to the trip. Amen. I got a chance yesterday to FaceTime with Trevor, and they got all his tubes out. They're working on him now. He still has another surgery to do, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But they're working on getting him. He is so ready to get out of there. I saw a video of him walking down the hall. He was almost run. I said, what are you trying to do, run out of that place? He said, I'm ready to get out. He said, remind you, he said, I'm ready to get out of here. And he told me yesterday, he said, and I can swallow. I mean, here's a man that I got to call him a man because he's 20 years old. I keep calling him a boy, but he's not really a boy. Here's a man that haven't swallowed probably his own spit in about a year. And God's touched him and delivered him, and he's come through the surgery. He said, well, God didn't do it. The surgeons did. Surgeons can only cut. They can't heal. They can't put one cell with another one. And so they can do their part, and we pray for them to do their part. And they do their part, and once they do their part, God still has to do the rest. It's never, you know, we thank God for doctors. Some people don't think that you know, you get so spiritual and so religious that we don't go to doctors no more. Oh, no. God uses doctors. And sometimes doctors have good common sense that you don't have, or knowledge about things that you don't even know about. And we're all so spiritual that we almost sit up and die trying to wait on the Lord, and the Lord's sending you doctors. But, you know, I'm not saying God can't just miraculously heal you. I've seen that too. I'll take whatever God gives me. If he doesn't heal my body right away, then if he says go by way of the doctor, I'll go to the doctor, but I ain't going to trust the doctor. I'm going to trust God. Because doctor's still human, but I trust in God. And the song says, I know he cares for me.
Amen.
So, you know, we expect that when we look for that. Now, I was looking for John this morning. You didn't go by and pick him up? I was told him to call you and have you come and get him. Selfish thing? That's no excuse. I've gone to Columbus to pick people up for church. If you were late, that means it wasn't a priority to you. I'm just saying. If it's not, if I'm making it up, tell me. You ain't late to the baseball game. You ain't late to work. You ain't late when you want to go out to eat. You ain't late when you want to go play with your friends. This is most important thing you can have in your life. To bring somebody to the house of God is more important than going to work on Monday. I'm just telling the truth. If I know you weren't gonna do it, I'd done it myself. I'm not happy about that. Man needs to be in the house of God, and you're being very selfish. Am I the only one that believes that?
No.
Okay. You should be running right now to get him. I don't even know where he lives, but he should be in the house. Lack of preparation on your part, and because you late don't mean that's what God wants. God wants you in the house. I told him last night, John, I said, we are brother's keepers. So you call your brother and tell him to come and get you. And then you're going to tell me you late? So you're not going to get him? That is no excuse. I'm sorry, church, but I'm not happy right now. I'll get this off me in a minute. But right now, I'm like, we're eagles. Do you know what happens when an eagle moats? All the other eagles come over to the eagle. A molting season is he drops his feathers. And it happens to all eagles, not just the sick ones. Every eagle goes through a molting season. And when the eagle goes through a molting season, he loses his feathers. Not because he wants to, not because he feels like he wants to go through something. It's a fact of life. And when one eagle's molting, he can't fly. He's helpless. And when he can't fly, he can't eat. Because eagles don't eat grass. They don't eat wiggle tails and bugs on the ground. They need fresh kill. So when one eagle is down and out, the other eagles who are still healthy and strong and can fly and can hunt and can see, they go get the animal, kill the animal, and they drop the food on the one that's molting.
Amen. Right. Amen. Okay.
That's an eagle.
That's
buzzards selfish.
Yeah. Okay.
They fight over the food, right. And if a buzzard dies in the process, they eat them.
Amen.
So are we going to act like eagles? Are we going to act like buzzards? When you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, yeah, that's the word of God. It's still the word of God. How dwell the love of God in you? How are we going to claim to be Christians when we don't act like it? You can talk holy, holy. I love this message. I love God. I'm a Christian all you want. But if your actions, if your manifestation doesn't show what your words are saying, you're a liar and God's not even in you.
Come on.
So we need to act like Christians. We need to act like eagles. When you see your brother or your sister in problems, don't just sit back. Check on them. Find out if they need anything. I texted Michelle yesterday. They're sick. I said, you need anything? Check on them. Find out what's going on with them. They may be molting. May need some meat dropped on them.
Right? You're right.
And I threw a big hint last night. I said, call and tell him to come and get you. I said. And I shouldn't even have to say. But then you show up today, oh, God ain't going to be happy with that. Okay. I feel better now. I don't believe in playing church. I ain't your buddy. I ain't your buddy. I'm not in here to play with you. If you're going to act like an unbeliever, I'm going to treat you like an unbeliever.
Amen.
I'm telling you, all I want is eagles in here. I don't want buzzards. I don't want people playing church. Play church down the street. They'll play with you. I ain't going to play with you. It's a serious hour, church. You say, well, Kim, is that you back there? Oh, I'm so sorry. I done shown my backside this morning. Good to see you here, sis. That's Skyler's mama. Anyway, I feel better now. I sit in there because I was really looking forward to seeing John because he's struggling, going through, pray for him. He's got some things he's battling. But you know what? You need to be in a house. You need to be in a house. If you can possibly be in a house, be in a house. I get it. If you can't be here and you're sick, you got issues, stay home. But when you can be here, or if I can get you here, I drove, like I said, an hour to Columbus for a long time, picked them up, brought them to church, and was here early. So I ain't telling you something I don't do. I don't ever tell y'all to do something I don't do.
Right.
I've done it before you even got here. And I'll do it when you leave.
You're right, Pastor. You're right.
So I ain't asking you to do nothing I wouldn't do myself. Like I said, if I'd have known he wasn't going to get him, I'd have got him myself. Because I believe in getting to the house. I believe you need to be in the house. So... all right, that's enough of that. Thank God for the cookout Friday night. Ain't nothing to see here. Dawn and John did an excellent job. I appreciate them opening their home. I appreciate them taking the time and the effort. And they didn't just throw it together. It was planned. I told John, I said, John, I know y'all rehearsed this, practiced it, and everything else before we got here. Because it was laid out. Everything was just nicely placed. And thank you for helping Sister Keene to a car, because I don't ever want her to feel like she can't participate because Satan's putting fear on her. There's too many of us in here. Those who can't see depend on those who can see. And those who need a little assistance in walking, they're a little unbalanced, grab an arm. Help them out. We're our brother's keepers. I mean, we ain't got away from it. You ain't got so holy that you don't need to look out for your neighbor. All right. Let's get to this. Let me read. Maybe if I read the Bible. What Jesus said, he said some hard things too, but I guess I better choose and pick on what I want to talk about or what I want to read. I did enjoy that reading too, sis. You good? You did. Amen. All right. John chapter 17. Now, I got a busy day today, so I'm going to have to do a helicopter trip today. I'm supposed to be going somewhere this afternoon. Then we got this evening, we got Bible studies coming back. And I told Brother Fred this morning, I said, Fred, I said, we're doing Bible study because of you. I said, when I went to Carolina, I said, that's what I want to do with our group. And it's good because you get to help each other. Eagles helping eagles. Duh. Okay. All right. I ain't going there no more. All right. St. John chapter 17. You know, when I get stuff on me, I got to get off. I can't preach. I mean, I don't preach just off notes, my notes. If I got to deal with the Spirit, I deal with the Spirit and get it done, and then I can move on. Otherwise, my mind just keeps going right back there, and I can't move off that thing until it's done, until it's out of here. Okay, so now I feel better. I can move. John chapter 17, and starting at verse 13, I'm going to read a few verses here to begin with. "And now come I to thee," this is Jesus speaking, "and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and have loved them as thou hast loved me." Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning that you left a trail for us, a Bible, a book, to be able to go back and look and understand and hear how much you loved us and what you've done for us. And Father, as you have laid this out for us, we thank you for the words that you spoke. Now come and speak these words again through our lips, that the people might see the real oneness between God and man. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to title this message this morning, "The Uniting of the Body." And I wanted to start here with St. John 17, because Jesus was trying to bring a real oneness. See, we don't even really know what a real oneness is. A lot of times when we look at a oneness, we're looking at God here, we here, the world here. And we think that what makes us a oneness is that the anointing of God comes upon us, and that anointing makes us a oneness. That's not a oneness. It's not even a oneness. There's a type of a oneness between a husband and a wife. But that's not a real oneness. That's still two. I mean, you still see Clarice and you still see me. There's still a two-ness there. So when you're talking about a oneness, you can talk about it to an extent when you're talking about husband and wife. But that's not the real oneness that God's talking about. The real oneness that God was talking about is God and man being the same. Amen. That's different. Amen. And we as human beings have had a horrible time understanding the oneness of God. Because we know how bad we are. We do. We know how many problems we have. We know the shortcomings. We know the troubles. We know this. We know that. And we know too much about ourselves, because you can't get away from yourself. Oh, you might pull the wool over my eyes, but I can't pull the wool over my own eyes. So we have a hard time when we look at ourselves and realizing how much God is in them. And Jesus was praying here in St. John 17 that, Lord, we're not of this world. We're really not. You got to understand how what it means by that is that you come from God. Oh, we can see how Jesus came from God, and we'll praise God on that and everything else. But we have a hard time realizing that we come from God. Amen. Just as much as Jesus did. Jesus said, Lord, they are not of the world, even as I am not. They're just as much not of the world as much as I'm not of the world. Jesus said, I come from God. And I go to God. Matter of fact, he told us in the scripture, he said, no man can go to heaven except for he that comes down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So it's not a oneness in two places. It's a oneness, meaning God is in there. It was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It wasn't God in Christ. It was God in Christ. It's not you and God. It's God in you.
Amen.
You can't even get a real oneness till you put God in your body. If all you see is God up here somewhere and you got him way up here, you don't even understand the true oneness of God. God didn't want to be above you. God didn't want to be with you. God wanted to be in you.
Amen.
He's praying there in St. John 17, Lord, make them one as we are one. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God is in you reconciling the world unto himself. He's still reconciling the world. He ain't done. People think it was done when Jesus died on Calvary. That was just the beginning of the reconciliation. There was seven ages of God sitting on a throne as a mediator between God and man. That had to be done. Then God had to come back and get in his bride body and come down here in a body and reconcile the entire thing.
Amen.
Make them one as we are one. What made God and Christ one? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word got down there in verse 14 of John chapter 1 and said, the Word was made flesh. God was made flesh.
Amen.
That's the oneness I'm talking about. That's the oneness Jesus was talking about. We are one.
Amen.
The Word made Jesus and God one.
Yeah.
What makes you one with God? The Word. If you don't have the Word, you can't be one with God. That's why it's so important to bring it word upon word upon word. Because if you have any leaven in it at all, little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. So you can't have word, creed. It's not okay to have creeds. It's not okay to have dogmas. It's not okay to have your own thinking. It's not okay to do it yourself. You got to die to your thinking and pick up the Word. Because you have to become one with the Word of God. Not one with me. Not one with the church. Not one with the denomination. You got to be one with the Word. And the Word is God. That's what made Jesus and God one. It was he became the Word. It was God in Christ. He was the Word of God dwelling in a house.
Okay.
And that's where the real oneness come from.
Right.
And it is no different than the oneness that God is looking for in you.
That's right.
Amen. You have to have that same oneness.
Amen.
And what makes you one is the Word. It's not your goodness. It's not your kindness. It's not your acts and your straightening your life up and all the things. You have to believe every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Right.
Man shall not live by bread alone.
Amen.
But by every word, everything that God says, you have to agree with.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
If God gives you a little bit, you got to agree with it.
Right.
If God gives you a lot, you got to agree with it.
Yes.
You can never turn down God's word.
Amen.
And be a child of God.
No.
I don't care how much you don't like it. I don't care how rough it feels. God's word is true.
Yes.
It doesn't matter about whether it rubs you right or wrong. See, I don't worry about whether I rub you right or wrong. I don't worry about whether you're going to like what I say. I don't get my message together according to what you want. I give you the word of God. It's between you and God whether you're going to receive it or not. I don't even care if you don't receive it.
That's right.
That's not up to me. That's not my job. My job is not to make you a Christian. My job is to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. That's what you saw today. It doesn't matter whether you liked it or not. I'll get back to y'all in a minute. I got to do something. I got to reprove. I got to rebuke. I got to put the word out there. You say, "Ooh, I don't like that." Then don't come. Simple as that. Don't come. I ain't trying to patch you and keep you. My job is to preach the word, because I know you cannot be one with God without the word of God. The uniting of the body. How does that uniting work? You eat the word of God. And when you eat the word of God, you and that word become one and the same. You know, they say you are what you eat. You eat a creed, you are a creed. And God will not quicken a creed. He doesn't quicken creeds. He's not obligated to quicken creeds. He said, "Well, I learned this in school." Doesn't matter. Is it the word of God? No, man, it's not the word, but it's good idea. I don't care about your idea. A lot of people mean well. Over in Matthew 25, there's a whole group of people going to be standing up at the great white throne judgment and trying to get in because they meant well. And they're going to say, "Lord, haven't we done these things in your name?" Then we cast out demons. They cast out demons. Yes. In his name. Yeah. They were worshiping the real true God. Did we do all these things for you? Haven't we been good? Haven't we given you all this? Built hospitals, built churches, done all these things, started denominations, done all these things in your name. They weren't devil worshipers. They weren't Satan worshipers. They were not wearing black. They were doing it in the name of God. But what did he tell them? He says, "In vain do you worship Satan." That ain't what he said. I just checked to see if y'all awake. I might put y'all asleep. He said, "In vain do they worship me, the one true God." They worship the real same God that everybody else is supposed to worship. But he said, "You did it in vain." Teaching after the doctrine and commandments of men. Of men. The doctrine and commandments of men are creeds and dogmas. Not the word of God. And then you got people who look like a ragtag team, who don't have nothing hardly right going in their life. Look a mess. People don't like them. They can't stand them. They don't understand them. But you know what they're doing all the time? Eating that word. Eating that word. I love the word. But you're a mess, but I love the word. But you got problems, but I love the word. See, people don't understand me because they think I let y'all get away with murder. Because I don't make y'all live good. I don't follow you home. I don't make you serve God. I don't make you do all this stuff. Why should I? It ain't between me and you and God. You do what's in your heart. And most people do. That's why this church ain't packed. That's right. Yeah. Because I don't try to pack a church. No. I try to pack a believer. Right. I try to give you the word. Yeah. Give you enough word that's going to make you realize that you are one with God. Amen. What's the proof that you're one with God? I don't turn down any word. Right. Look down through the ages. Every messenger for every age, the proof of who they were is they didn't turn down the word. And they, some of them didn't have enough word to float themselves across the city. Amen. They couldn't even talk about a rapture. They couldn't rapture themselves out of nothing. Right. When Luther got out here, all he had was one piece of word. The just shall live by faith. Right. Oh, he didn't have all the seals and the thunders, and God didn't do all this opening up and tearing the seals off to him. He had one little thing. But see, that's all God required. God doesn't get you for what you don't know. God gets you for what you know and don't do. That's how it works. Because remember, God's the only revealer of the word. He is not going to hold you responsible for something that he's not revealed to you. So he's not going to hold Luther responsible for the opening of the seven seals because it wasn't even revealed then. All Luther had was a just shall live by faith, but he beat the devil's ears down with that. He took that one little scripture. See, that's why I don't care how new you are to this. When you get one revelation, beat the devil's head in with it. Beat his head in. He cannot stand the word of God. When Jesus got him up there after fasting for 40 days, the devil thought, I'm going to offer you some bread. Give you the one thing, I can offer you a gold coin or I can offer you a block of gold. And that wouldn't turn you on a bit. But if I offer you a loaf of bread, after you fasted for 40 days, offer you a loaf of bread, that's exactly what you'll want. Jesus took the one little thing he had. It is written.
Amen.
How are you going to defeat the devil? It is written, Satan. How do you overcome? It is written. The poem, that psalm that Tracy read, you should read that thing and whip the devil's ears with it.
Amen.
You are my life, my salvation.
Amen.
Oh, my. Who am I going to fear?
Yeah.
What? Why am I going to worry about the devil? You say, oh, but if you do that, you're going to lose all your people. Go!
Right.
I was serving God before most of you got here.
Amen.
And I'm serving God after most of the people left.
Amen.
Who shall I fear?
Amen.
Who am I going to be afraid of? Why am I going to be afraid to tell you the truth? When he's the truth?
Amen.
Use the word of God to whip the devil's ears with. Use the word of God to let him know what side you're on.
Amen.
That you are a believer. Because if God reveals his word to you, then he's revealing it to you so that you can use that word to defeat the devil.
Okay.
People get the word of God and don't even use it. Lord, don't even read it. Some of y'all this morning's like, oh, is that in the Bible what Tracy's reading? I had never read that. So that's where that song comes from. That book can help you through a lot of trouble.
Amen.
That's the best book there is. Because it's ammunition to beat the devil's head in.
Amen.
So when we come to the house of God, I'm not looking for the good people. Sorry, y'all. I sifted all the good ones out. I'm left with the ragtag team of people that all they got is they love God.
Amen.
They're not here because they've been so good. They've been so right. They've been so holy. They're here because I love God.
Amen.
Why are you here? I don't know. I just love God. Why you come back? I don't know. I just got to have it. I'm just addicted to it. It's like, but those are the ones that I'm looking for.
Right.
You don't go to a doctor unless you're sick.
Right.
Amen.
Make them one, Lord.
Right.
Make them like us. Let them know how to be one. When the word of God comes forth, and you got to have a man of God that's bringing it word upon word.
Amen.
That's the key. That's what most people don't. You know, I so disagree with those truck drivers. I hope Scotty don't have it on the back of his truck. If I get up behind that boy and he's got that on the back of his truck, I'm going to run into this truck. On the back of the truck, they got, attend the church of your choice. No. You got to go to God's provided place of worship.
Amen.
I know the queen's dead and died and all that. And God bless her. She did her job. I have nothing against the queen. But I had a service. Oh, they were had a service. And I always forget. I watched the king's funeral. And when I was watching the funeral they had for the queen the other day, they had a ceremony. And I was watching. I was like, man, I forgot how dry that is. I mean, there is just all education, all smartness, no anointing, no revelation. And I sit and I thought, man, I forgot. Just a bunch of tradition. And you say, that's an awful thing to say. The queen's not even buried. I ain't talking about the queen. I think the queen did such a good job that God's going to reward her for her service. She lived better than a lot of us. She gave her life for what she did. And she was the head of that church. and stood for what she believed in, and God will reward her. You say, but she's not in a message. Did I tell you you're only required to have the word that God's revealed to you? If all she's got is a little bit, that's all she needs to get in. Because remember, people are going to get in because they gave you a glass of water. She ran the Church of England. Amen. Our thinking is so warped. There's going to be people in heaven that you don't think should be there. And there are going to be people missing that you thought were going to be there. Because God doesn't judge it the way man judges it. We judge it by smartness, education, how eloquent we are, how good we live. We got all these criteria about why we get to go to heaven. Why Jesus took a man who was a thief and didn't even get baptized. This day you'll be with me in paradise. But we got all these rituals, all this tradition, what you got to dress like, what you got to look like, what you got. And then they get mad at me because they think, well, Nate, you don't call for anything. I call for everything. Yeah. It's just what, you know what? It just depends on what you're calling. I expect y'all to be believers. Amen. I expect God to change your life. I expect God to put things in and take things out as he wants to in your life, and you're going to be a better person. Amen. You will be a better person. Amen. That's not an if, ands, or but. You will be a better person because God's on board.
Amen. Right.
And it's not by legislation. It's by revelation.
Amen.
When God speaks to you, your life will change.
Amen.
If he doesn't speak to you, your life will not change. Yes. If you're in the same place you were 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, who's talking to you?
Come on. All right.
Make the one, Lord. How are you going to do it? By giving them the word. And when you give them the word, they will build their life upon the word of God. You say, well, how can you have the word of God and still have issues? You're made up of three. Body, spirit, and soul. Your new birth, which is where the word ends up,
right,
is your soul.
Amen.
And the only thing that can divide between the soul and the spirit is the word of God.
Amen.
That's the scripture.
Amen.
And that scripture says that the word of God kills that old nature, and that soul that's in you is not the soul that you were born with.
Right.
That's what being born again is all about. Nicodemus didn't get it. He thought, well, do I need to go back in my mother's womb? No, you were wrong when you come out the first time. And if you got back in your mother's womb and you come out again, you'll still be wrong.
Right.
You must be born again.
Amen.
There's only one way to be born again, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of God.
Amen.
Blood and spirit. You got to have the word, and you got to have the spirit.
Right. Yeah.
And when you get both of those in there,
right,
you will be born again.
Right.
And when you are born again, God will take over your life.
Right.
He'll tell you to do stuff that you don't want to do.
Amen.
He'll take you places you don't want to go.
Right. Right.
He'll have you doing nice things to people that you really don't like. I get mad at myself sometimes. I get in a situation, and sometimes you get in a situation. I don't want to get too many details, because y'all nosy. You get in a situation, and by human nature, you should be mad, upset, disgusted, throw down the towel, and walk away. But something on the inside responds differently. And when it responds differently, I don't know about y'all, I'll just talk about me. I get mad. I get mad because I get set up. I get set up all the time. Like this trip to Carolina, I was set up for that. This wasn't what I was signing up for. I just giving y'all a fun trip. God's like, yeah, but this is going to happen. But he didn't tell me this stuff in advance, because, you know, if he told me in advance, we wouldn't be going nowhere. But I get mad because God is bigger than me. And God does things to me and with me and to me. And next thing I know, I'm in the middle of something that I shouldn't be in. And I'm treating it the way God wants me to. And I get mad about it in my spirit. So it's like, Melanie did this to me. I should never speak to her again. But then I go around her and I'm like, God bless you, Mel. And get mad at myself because, you know, my human nature says, punch her in the face. But the Spirit of God that's in me says, that's your sister. Take care of her. Cherish her. Look out for her. That's what happens when God gets in you. I mean, if that's never happened to you, say, God ain't never done that to me, do you need to get born again? Because when you're born again, your soul wars against your flesh, and your flesh wars against your spirit and your soul, and there's a battle there. But which one's stronger? I told somebody yesterday or the day before, wherever it was, they said, I just snapped. I said, that is not true. Amen. Born again believers don't just snap. You say, well, I get mad and I snap all the time. I said, you can't snap. You got a control tower. You have to give the devil the reins. You don't snap. You choose to let him have it. You choose to get it. You choose to get it, let him just take over. Before we had what we had, we did snap. Because the devil just, you know how, well, y'all don't know Flip Wilson. Flip Wilson used to say, people over, you know, see the ones that are laughing and shaking their head, they know. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, this ain't that hour. This is the hour that we are one with God. This is the hour that God is in control. And for me to even lose it, I have to willingly let the devil drive. We don't snap. The world snaps. Oh, they'll snap and they'll shoot people up. They'll go through schools and shoot, and they snap and they do all that. Yeah, that's them, but that ain't us. We're not of the world. We're not like the world. When I get mad, I can get mad. I can get angry, but my Bible tells me, get angry, but sin not. Disbelieve not. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You get mad, but you realize, wait a minute. This picture's bigger than me. It's bigger than what I want. It's bigger than what I can do. I'm one with God. Lord, what would Jesus do? But the word is uniting with the body. That's what's happening. And when the word unites with you, your love for the word is more important than anything else. It's more important than you having the last word. Amen. You know how you husband and wife do? He'll have the last word, and she'll have the last word, and he's got to say something else, and she's got to say something else. They stomp out. He goes in the room, and he says something else. She goes in the other room in the kitchen. She says on her breath, she's going to get that last word. Whether he hears it or not, it makes her feel good. But the thing is, if you belong to God, your last word don't mean nothing. Amen. The word is the word. Amen. You just speak it, put it out there and lay it. Just let it lay. You don't have to back it up. You don't have to prop it up. You don't have to try to prove it. I don't try to prove people who I am. I know who I am. Whether you believe it or not. A lot of people think I ain't going to heaven. But you know what? It's not up to them. They say, you don't live good enough. You got problems. You still do this. You do that. How can you serve God and do that? Because I'm made up of three. I can answer the question. Amen. You ain't going to believe it, but I can answer the question. Because I'm made up of three, and I choose to let the devil have this little ride. You know, Romans 7. Say, Romans 7. Come on, read your Bible, people. Romans 7. When I try to do good, evil is present. That I would do, I don't do. And that I don't do, I find myself doing.
You know, only a believer can understand that scripture. If you ain't born again, you won't have a clue what Paul was talking about. He said, I want to do right, but I do wrong. I want to do this, I want to do wrong, but I do right. Who's going to deliver me from this body? Not soul, from this body of sin. You might be born again, but Satan still has access to your flesh. He still has access to your spirit. You can still get mad. You can still get poison ivy. You can still get old. You can still get weight heavy, and you can still need glasses. Even when you're born again. So I ain't trying to get your house ready. I'm trying to get your soul ready. If I can get your soul ready, your house will be okay. Because you got a new house. You got a new body. You got a theophany. You got a replacement. Oh, you might have problems in this. You know what we do down here? We just maintain. We do the best we can with what we got to work with. And if it ain't good enough for other people, that's all right. I'm still going to just do my little thing. I'll do the best I can because I know, you know what? That's okay. I got a mansion over there. This one might be broke down. It might be this. It might be that. It might have problems here. I'm only maintaining. You know that scripture, I think it was Jeremiah read. I talked about you don't eat meat in front of your brothers. We still need to go look at that again. We should probably tonight. Let's read that again. Find that tonight, and we're going to read that again. Because I said, well, we need to cover that. Because a lot of people think that you don't eat meat. That's not what it says. Now, I ain't trying to talk about tonight today, but I just want to use that as a thought. I sure want to get on that. I want to so bad I could almost taste it. But it's not that you don't do what you do. See, a lot of people think if you don't do what you do in front of everybody, then you're a hypocrite. No, you're smart. You just don't do it in front of your brother. That's what people don't understand about the Word of God. And you know what? I don't care. I shouldn't say, but I'm going to. This is almost embarrassing. I'll get back here and say this. I don't know why he makes me say stuff, because I don't care how holy and Christian-like y'all look. All y'all got kids. Hello, lights. Amen, lights. I was supposed to be back there. I'm over here now. I'm here now. I'm in it now. Like, okay, we got to get through. You know how it is when you're canoeing and you get to a shallow area, you just got to keep on. Y'all got kids. Well, y'all ain't doing everything in front of everybody. Right. So some things you do, you don't tell everybody. You don't eat meat in front of your brother. He didn't say you don't eat meat. You just don't do it in front of your brother. If it offends him, don't do it while he's around. You say, oh, you give me a license to do anything I want. You do what God lets you get away with. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost in you is going to stop you. When he don't want you to do something, he'll stop you. I try to sneak some time and do something, and God's funny. I almost laugh not anymore these days. I just laugh. Because I try to set something. You know how we plot and plan? Y'all don't do that. I guess I'm the only one to do that. Wait, you don't do that, Tracy? Mm-mm. Plot and plan to take care of this flesh, and you know, we get it all lined up and we are just smooth sailing. God takes this out, takes it out, and it messes up something that shouldn't be a problem at all and ruins your whole day. And I just laughed. I was like, okay, Lord, I see it. I ain't getting that. I'm not having that. So see, God, the Holy Ghost is in you, Brother Branham. He told him, don't drink, don't smoke, don't run around. Because I got to work for you when you get older. You know what Brother Branham tried to do? He tried to drink, he tried to smoke, and he tried to run around. Tried to murder. Tried suicide. Tried all these things. But God wouldn't let him. So I ain't worried about what you do or what you don't do. All I'm here to do is give you the word of God. And when I put the word out there, you better eat it.
Amen.
That's not optional. Because if you don't eat the word of God, you're none of his.
That's right.
That's the scripture. I don't care whether you like me or not. When I get the word of God out there, the seed of God, there's something on the inside of him. It's called God. Something on the inside of him says, that is nothing but the truth. That is nothing but, as much as I got mad at Brother Children, he would preach me, ooh, that man would preach me under the seat. I'd get so mad, but I said from under the seat, I mean, looking out from under the seat saying, hey, nothing but the truth. Hey, nothing but the truth. And it might have got hot this morning. And it chased Isaiah out of here. But it was the truth.
Right.
As hot as it got, it was the truth.
Right.
He's still going after his brothers.
Yeah.
But that's right. You know what? That's better than sitting here trying to eat and disobeying God. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Okay. Brother Branham said here, and I'm going to jump down because I got to keep moving. I wonder if this great thing, this ecumenical council that we got in the world today, and the World Council of Churches forming together, makes us all one. I wonder if they realize that's exactly what the scripture said they would do. But they think that it's the most wonderful thing in the world, and all that can join hands and be one. And Jesus prayed that we'll all be one. That's true. But not that kind of one. See, you don't want to get one with something that's a creed or a dogma or man-made. I don't fit in anywhere. I don't even fit in with the message church. I say I'm a bad message church. I'm not even a good message. I don't fit in with none of them. Not supposed to. Don't have to. Not a requirement. I'm here to serve God and preach the word of God. If you want it, fine. If you don't, well, fine. You know, that's what it's about. That's not a oneness just because we all get together. You see the world trying to act like they're a oneness. But they're not. They're all coming together. But while they're coming together, they're backstabbing each other, talking about each other, making fun of each other, trying to take each other's country. I forgot how bad message churches can be. Until we start getting water in or out, you know, water in and out this year. Ooh, y'all, I heard some stuff. And I'm thinking, I forgot how bad church people are. They plot against each other. They try to kill each other's influence. They try to take each other's congregation. They try to take each other's church. They try to bring false things in and put stuff on you that doesn't even match the word of God. Try to put a bunch of law on you. Try to make you live something that they don't even live themselves. Y'all better be glad I don't make y'all live something I don't live.
Thank you.
That's why y'all so loose.
Amen. Thank you.
Because I'll tell you, I'm not requiring nothing out of you I don't do myself.
That's right.
And I always thought it was funny God called me to preach, because I didn't think I wasn't good enough to be a preacher. Number two, I didn't ask to be a preacher. Number three, I wanted to do my own thing. I wasn't trying to be up here in front of everybody. I wanted to hide in a corner somewhere in a booth in the corner in the dark. That was me. And that's me. So when I have to be up here in front of everybody, I can't code something on y'all and say, y'all better do all this. Y'all, I ain't going to ask y'all to do nothing that I don't do myself. And y'all sitting up here, coming here sometime with flip-flops. I've seen them come in shorts. I've seen them come in. Y'all know I got standards. And y'all know what I believe, even how to get dressed and come to church. Y'all done backed off. I'm lucky today Jeremiah's got on suit. Y'all don't even wear suits no more. Y'all done plumb backed off. When I was a kid, my mama put us in the best clothes we had, didn't she, Mel? We didn't have a lot. And we didn't have a lot, but whatever we had, we gave God our best.
Amen.
We earned our clothes.
Yes.
Our Goodwill shirts. And my hand-me-down pants from my brother. We earned those things Saturday night. If not Saturday night, we earned them Sunday morning. We didn't have much. But when mama walked in that church, followed by at least 6, 7, 8 of us. We were clean.
Right.
We were ironed.
Yes.
And we had on our best.
Amen.
I had my little clip-on tie. I didn't, but some of y'all barely look like y'all going to church. Brother Childers got on me about wearing Levi's in here.
Yeah.
Didn't he, Jeremiah?
Yeah.
I think somebody, one of the preachers got up here to preach in gym shoes or something.
Yeah.
And Brother Childers was, he's so funny. He was sitting on the front row and he's looking at those shoes. He's looking at those shoes. He might say, "Where are those shoes? What are you doing with those shoes?" Can't be wearing those shoes in here. But you still want to give God your best.
Amen.
I don't care if we get laxed in what we have to have. Don't get laxed in your love for God.
Amen.
Give him your best. Give him your best. I was debating. I said, I don't wear suits on Sunday night and on Wednesday. I said, I don't know. Maybe I should step it up a bit. I don't know. I wear ties at work. When I come home from work, I snatch that off. I ain't wearing that to church. But you want to give God your best. You know what God wants from you. Don't give him your leftovers, your torn knee jeans. I know it's a style. Come here with your torn jean knees and act like that's, you know. Like, come on, man. You can do better than that. You can fix it a little bit. I mean, act like you're going to the best. When you go to your best restaurant, you know what you do? Oh, y'all dress up when y'all go to a good restaurant? Okay. All right. I see where y'all got me now. Okay. This is the best restaurant you've ever been in your life.
Amen.
With the best food. Best server.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. Somebody must have been debating on wearing holy jeans today or something. I don't know. I ain't responsible for this. I'm just swinging. You get it? That's what happens when my mom would come in the room and there's about 3 or 4 of us in there. She'd come in with the braided switch. She'd come in just swinging. Everybody's getting something. Okay. God was building a body. He's always wanted a body. He was always wanting to unite with us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul's over here. He's trying to explain to them how this thing works. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God give the increase. See, I don't care what you do in the church. You might be the door opener. You might be a musician.
Right.
You might be a church cleaner.
Right.
I don't care what you do. It's God that gives the increase.
Right.
It's not about your abilities or my abilities. Right. I don't preach because I can preach. I preach because that's what God told me to do.
Yeah.
I hear y'all say, oh, I got up here to testify, and I don't know what I'm going to say. Good. Because my Bible tells me, take no thought. He'll tell you what to say. When you practice. You know, that's why we go to church, and they'll say, I thank God who's the head of my life. And the next person get up and say, I want you to thank God who's the head of my life. You're like, okay, that one did it. And the next one get up, I want to thank God who's the head of my life. I'm like, okay. My God's a God of variety.
Right.
If y'all got up here and said the same thing all the time, every person, there would not be a mic there.
Right.
I would cut that out in a minute.
Amen.
God doesn't make two snowflakes alike.
That's right.
There's no two trees alike. There's no two leaves alike. Why in the world do we mass produce people?
Amen.
We crank them out of churches and everybody looks alike, everybody sounds alike, everybody testifies alike, everybody walks alike, everybody dresses alike, everybody's just the same. That ain't God, that's manufactured.
Right.
God wants you to be an individual leaf.
Amen.
Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one.
Right.
Said God gives the increase. They're still one.
Amen.
Courtney might sing, and And Jay might play the trumpet, and we might hear the flute. They're all different, but it's still one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Talking about a uniting, we're laborers together, and yet God's the husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Paul knew he wasn't finishing it. He was just starting the foundation. But let every man take heed how he builds on it. Watch what you put on this house. Watch how you, what words. See, I'm very careful, and when I'm even getting ready to bring something to the body, what I'm bringing, I got to have a word. I had to have the scripture, and I don't just want the scripture because anybody can take the Bible and interpret it to their own damnation. So I take the prophet's words, message, and what he brought, tie it with the scripture. Then I know my interpretation of the scripture is right according to the word of God. So I'm very careful. I don't just spout things off here. Whatever, you can guarantee if I bring anything here, I've got a quote to back it.
Amen.
I got a scripture to back it. I don't come out here and presume anything. I don't come out here and try to give you my ideas. I come out here and build on the same thing that Paul built on.
Amen.
He says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul built on Jesus Christ and the word. And the church was built on what Paul brought. Because Paul told us, he said, if anybody brings any other gospel, including myself, then what I've already brought you, let him be a curse.
Amen.
If I bring you any other gospel, than what I've already given you, if I come up here one day and switch things up and say, you know what? I got this new revelation. I'm the prophet of God. I got this new route. We're going to go this way. Let me be a curse. That's what Paul said. Curse me if I come bringing anything else. Because see, the thing about the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He builds on word. God's not going to give you a revelation and then change and give you another revelation. When you're born again, you're born on one revelation, and from that point on, God just takes the word and builds. Everything you ever receive from that point will be built upon the word of God. That's how you know it's God. If it doesn't match what he's already given you, then throw it out because it's not God. It must match the word of God. If Brother Branham brought something that didn't match the word of God, I'd have to throw it out.
Amen.
If Brother Childers brought anything that didn't match the word, I'd have to throw it out. If Brother Nate brings anything that doesn't match the word of God, I have to throw it out. Because the Bible is what we're built on. And what Paul brought, he had the perfect revelation of the entire thing.
Right.
And built the whole church on top of that and said, if anybody brings anything else, curse him. So Brother Branham couldn't bring anything else. I couldn't bring anything else. You can't bring anything else. Now, and if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire is God himself, the Holy Ghost. He'll try your work. So he said, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. God's going to try that work. See if it's building upon that foundation. If it ain't building on the foundation, it ain't going nowhere. If it's just you, it ain't going nowhere. If it's your thinking, it ain't going nowhere. God started as a masterpiece. Not going to read it, but when he started a masterpiece on the day of Pentecost, he was building a body and uniting a group of people that were going to be one body. This isn't seven bodies. This is one body. And it started on the day of Pentecost. And it's been going ever since. And when God preaches and he does something in the congregation, he's building on that same body. That's why once you get a revelation, everything else is just eating. It's like, I don't have to figure this out. You know, it's really easy because the preacher, his job, he's ordained to break it down. You're not ordained to break it down. Sometimes we get frustrated. We think, Oh, I'll never understand that. You don't have to break it down to me and bring it back. That's not a sign that you believe it. That's a sign that you're educated and you've got an understanding of it. But really, all God wants you to do is when you hear the word, to say it is nothing but the truth.
Amen.
That's all he wants. He's not asking you to do anything, make anything, know anything, because he's the one that reveals the word.
Amen.
It's not you revealing the word. It's him revealing the word. God bless you, Brother John. I sent the cavalry after you. It's God revealing the word. You can't even receive what I'm saying today unless God quickens it to you. You can't say it's me. You can't say you're so smart and you got it. You can't pick this up on your own. This word is past finding out. It'll be God revealing it to you or you'll never get it. You'll never unite with the word unless he quickens it to you. That's why I can't get mad at you if you don't know a lot, because you can only know what God reveals. And if all God's revealed to you is one little scripture, just hang there. Hold on to that. That's enough scripture right there for you to go into rapture. That's enough scripture for you to get a body change. But if God reveals more and more and more, you know, he may have a work for you to do. I was an odd duck. I came in and I wanted to know. But I didn't know I was going to be the preacher, let alone a pastor. Brother Childers would preach and I'd stop him right there. After he preached for 2-3 hours. And I'd hold him for another hour or so because I had questions. And I wanted to know. But I didn't realize, but I was feeding what was going to eventually be the foundation that was going to help you.
Right.
But that was me. That's not you. I don't expect you to hold me up after church for an hour. Matter of fact, I don't want you to hold me up after church for an hour. But if you got a gift in you and God's dealing with you and you, it will make a way for itself.
Amen.
Oh, we used to argue. Don and I used to argue all the time. You're going to be the preacher. No, you're going to be the preacher. We used to fight about that all the time as young men. And he won. But by default. And I remember Brother Childers, he used to get all the brothers up. He started out getting all the brothers up, and we would get up, all the brothers, and next thing I know, all the brothers were sitting down except for me and Greg, and we were the last two up, and then, now here I am. But it wasn't because of my smartness. It's because God had a work for me to do, and he will take care of it all. He'll take care of you. He'll give you what you need. Christ is the cornerstone. He's the headstone. He's the leader. He's the capstone. All these things was God building a body down through the ages. But even when he built a body, what you're looking at on this board here is the body without the capstone.
Amen.
That's that pyramid over there in Egypt. That's the pyramid on your dollar bill, on the back of your dollar bill. You know the pyramid? It's got the pyramid without the cap, and then you see the capstone with the all-seeing eye. Isn't it funny? The all-seeing eye is in the capstone coming down. That's what we're looking at here. So the capstone couldn't unite the body until the body was built. You didn't get your breath of life until after your body was built. You went through the 9 months, and after the 9 months, you get your breath of life. That's when that soul moves into that body. Then you have that body, that spirit, and that soul, a living creature, living being. Here we had a body, 7 ages, didn't have the capstone, didn't have the life on the body. Now, every age had a life. Every age was quickened for their day. They all had a birth. There's not 7 births. The birth is the same in every age, receiving the word for your day. So the birth was the same in every age. It just had a different word. And when that word was quickened, that brought birth to that age. But it didn't bring a birth to the body.
That's right.
The body couldn't be. See, the thing is that when God finishes this body, he's going to unite the entire body.
Right.
He's not just going to take you and me. We're like, oh, we're going in a rapture. We're not the only ones going in a rapture.
Right.
We're just the tip of the iceberg.
Amen.
The last ones in, the few at the top of the pyramid. Like the brother said the other day, when that pyramid, and I saw where Brother Branham said, I was reading it last night. He said at the bottom of that pyramid with Paul and him, he said that it was a long way around to get to the bottom, at the bottom of the pyramid. But when you get to the capstone, when you get to the top, there is not very many that's going to actually see this thing and understand it. You won't have them coming in by the millions and the thousands like they did on the day of Pentecost. You won't have a 5,000 and 7,000. You're going to get, when you get to the capstone, you only have a few here and a few there that's going to really understand it. There's not going to be a whole lot. We are many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the same, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Jesus said over in St. John, when I read earlier, I said, make them one. This is how we become one. It's many members in the body, but still just one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. You're not baptized into a different body than me. It's like you got a body here and I got a body there. And no. Well, we're Gentiles. We're individuals. The first thing the birth does is tie it to a body. You can't make it without me, and I can't make it without you. We need each other. Like Brother June said last Sunday, I might be the armpit, but you can't. You need me.
Amen.
I might be the uncomely part of the body, but you need me. I don't see us laying anything aside. I don't think I'll take my right hand today. I'm feeling a little lefty today, so I'll just leave my right hand. No, it's going with you. It's part of the body. Matter of fact, you don't even realize you use your left hand until you see it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm using my left hand. I'm holding my handkerchief in my left hand. Wasn't even thinking about it. But it's doing its job. And my right hand's not saying, give me that. And that's what we do to each other.
Yeah.
We pick on each other. We act like we're not even brothers or sisters. We act like we don't need them. I can't go without you, and you cannot go without me.
Amen.
They without us are not made perfect. Right. But let me tell you this, little bride, us without them are not made perfect.
Right.
The body's not even complete till we're all in it.
Right.
Till we're all taking part.
Amen.
That's why I want everybody to testify. That's why I want everybody to sing. That's why when they all come to church and I'm sitting here because I see everything from that work. You can't hide nothing. And you come in here like this. And the church is just, I want you to get involved. I want you to clap. Sometimes I see, we're manly men. And I'm like, what are you getting out of that? You know, if I'm going to hear the music, I'm going to tap my foot. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to do something. I'm going to get in this thing. Don't don't be a visitor.
Right.
You know, when people come to your house that they don't live there, they come in the living room a little shy, don't know where to sit, don't know where to go. They don't. My kids come in, use the garage door, walk on in the house. Walking through the house, hey, going back to the bathroom, back in the room somewhere, going to throw their bag in the bed or stand over.
Right.
Dad, I'm staying over tonight. Okay. And that's why we should be in the house of God.
Amen.
When you come here, you should be at home.
Amen.
Don't be all bottled up. And I said, sometimes they're sitting like this. And I think, what are you protecting? You had a bad day at work and you so stuffed up and stumped up that you just can't let loose. You make it hard for the song leaders.
Amen.
It makes it hard for the organ player.
Amen.
I said, like, maybe if I play a little louder or stump that pedal a little harder, it might get them going. So, but it's a body. We're a body. We're a body. We're a unit. We're all together. And we're not even complete without them. And do you realize now that the body has been completely built, we as a whole body can be one.
Amen.
That's what God's wanted all the way through. He's always wanted one body. Ephesians 1, verse 10, Don, one of our favorites. that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All things in Christ. What things? This thing. All things in Christ. Both which are in heaven. The ones already gone. And which are on earth. That's you and me. Even in him. Everything that's in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. You cannot get an inheritance unless I give it to you. Unless I put your name on my will, you get nothing. He said, well, I was a good friend to you. So, I gave you a lot. I did this for you. I cut your grass. I washed your car. I said, so, if you're not on the will, can't get nothing. But if I know who you are, and I choose to put you on my will, then you get it without even asking for it. He put us in his will. He made himself one with us without you asking for this. It wasn't that you came to him. He came to you. He called you. He selected you. He did this. Not you, it's him. It's all about what God wanted. He put it in his will. It was his will that we be called. According to his will. According to his promises. According to what he wanted. We're not here today because we chose to be here today. You had no choice. You say, well, I could have stayed home. If you could have, you would have. But God had this message, today's message, for you. And in order for God to get you this message, because it's not about looking in something that's already historical. God wants to be alive. He wants to be real. He wants to talk to you face to face. He wants to be able to just tell you exactly what he wants. And in order for him to do that, he's got to bring your hide into the house of God. But now it's in here. You're on his territory now. You can't hit stop on me. You might want me to stop. It's close to noon. You want to eat. You're getting hungry, but you can't stop me now. God's turned loose in this place, and he'll talk until he's finished. Best thing you can do is stomp out of here and go get your McDonald's. See, God wants to be real. He wants to be human. He wants to be, and then he selectively put you in this service today.
Amen.
Yes. He's the head of the body. Yes. He's the one that's doing all these things. And now that he got the body built, all that's left is the life.
Yes. Right.
To the entire body. Not to the age, to the entire body. God wants to be the headstone. He wants to be the capstone. He's the corner and the headstone. Right. Do you realize the cornerstone of a capstone is the same shape of a headstone?
Yeah.
If you chopped off a corner of a capstone of a pyramid, it becomes a headstone. Same shape.
Right.
Take it and put it on top of it. Right. It'll fit. It's the same because Jesus is both the corner and the head.
Amen.
He's the author and the finisher. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's every bit of it. He's no longer trying to build a body now. He's got a body built. It's already proven. History testifies of that. Now God himself comes down to give life to the body. How's he going to give life to the body the same way he did everything else? He used people to build the body. He used people to get the foundation. He used people to make the church. So what is he going to use to bring the capstone?
Come on.
People.
Amen.
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 The looser under justification. The feet. Raise it like that. Wesley under sanctification. The Pentecostals under the arms. the works and deeds and so forth, had the Calvinists or the Arminians, had to be legalists. But now we come to the head, the capstone, grace, 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 the capstone cry. This is the only time that we can really cry grace. When the capstone comes to the body, the capstone has to give grace to the entire body. We're not worrying about Luther smoking now. Some people worrying about you smoking now. How can... I should turn the tape off on this. How are you going to be concerned about smoking now and going to let Luther in? I think we make majors out of minors. And I'm not a proponent to smoke. You shouldn't smoke. It's bad for your health. Drinking's bad for your health. Running around's bad for your marriage. Could be deadly to you. I'm not promoting those things. I'm just saying we hold us accountable for things now that we're going to let everybody else in on. And we're hollering grace, grace, grace for them, and we don't even give grace to each other. We fight like cats and dogs, and there's no reason we should do that. Not in the hour that we're living in. There shouldn't be fussing and fighting in a home. There shouldn't be fussing and fighting in our brothers and our sisters. There shouldn't be disagreements that we can't get through. We should be hollering grace, grace, grace for everything. And people are looking at us saying, well, you just allow them to do anything. I let Luther get in. We hold a double standard. And I'm not saying be bad. I'm saying be good. Be a good neighbor. I want you to be a good neighbor. I want you to come to church and be respectful. I want you to do these things. But I got grace. It covers everything. What can you possibly do that I cannot give you grace for outside of turning down the word of God? The only thing. I have nothing else. Because you got problems. I got problems. The people who think they're holy and spiritual and all this, they got problems. I know they lie. But the capstone comes down, not being judgmental about any age, but acceptant of every age. Puts life in all of them, saying, I'm giving grace to everybody down through that last 2,000 years because that's my body. We're talking about a resurrection. We're talking about a rapture. You can't get a rapture if you don't accept everybody in that body. You know, when I was an apostolic, we didn't think Luther was going because he cussed and drank and smoked. We put the law on him. We told him he didn't speak in tongues, and the Baptists didn't, and the Lutherans didn't, and the Methodists didn't. So only one that was going was the apostolic. Now, how off-centered would that have been? But that's what we said, because we had the evidence of the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues. The evidence of the Holy Ghost of receiving the word in every age. Okay, I got to wrap this up. Thessalonians chapter 4, we know it so well, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. There's your capstone. There's God. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and trump of God. We're talking about a rapture. What's going to be raptured? This body of all ages. We got grace for the whole thing. We as a capstone people have grace for everything there, and now the body can get up because we say they can get up. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. That is the capstone people. That was the coming of the Lord. When he come down here, first thing he's going to do is reveal who the body is. And in doing that, he's going to do that in his people. That's the way he's working now. So the capstone people, you come on the scene, you hear the word of God, you receive the word of God, you understand the word of God, and you call to all the ages to get up.
Amen.
When Jesus was here the first time, and Mary and Martha were there at Lazarus' tomb, they thought, Lazarus, yeah, he's going to get up at that day of resurrection. Jesus is like, what are you waiting on? Don't you realize who I am?
I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus can get up right now. He don't have to wait till the day of judgment. We're going to realize who we are in the hour we're living in. We're like, Yeah, because we always say, yeah, the dead are going to get up one of these days. Dead are already up. They come with the capstone.
Right.
We just don't see it with our natural eyes, but they're here.
Amen.
We are the resurrection and the life.
Yes. Amen.
He said greater works in St. John 14, verse 12, greater works shall we do. What more works? Because you're in a many-member body. God's in his body. God's getting the job done. He's in us. Amen. Now, I'm running through this. You know I am. I'm doing it. One more quote, and then I'm leaving. Let me say something. This uniting time, see, the church uniting, nations uniting, it's a uniting time of God and his bride, too. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Jesus Christ is called. She's already called. And I believe she is sealed in the kingdom of God. Nobody's getting out. Nobody else is getting in. I believe the mechanics is here. We know about the rapture. We know all the mechanics of the rapture and everything about the uniting. We got all that down. We can sit up and quote it. The mechanics is here. They're waiting for the dynamics that'll take her off the earth. That's all we're waiting on. We already know who's getting up. We know the order they're getting up. We got all the mechanics down now. All we're waiting on is the quickening of the dynamics of that revelation. And this body will change like that and will be gone in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
They're waiting on the dynamics to take her off the earth into glory, into the rapture. I believe it all my heart. Yes, sir. We don't know how he's going to do it, but he shall do it. He is the dynamics. You just becoming the members of the machine of his body, forming ourselves into his image, and see him uniting himself with us in his works, with his love gifts, as he hands them to us before the wedding supper. And we're waiting, watching for these. We're just so on the edge right now. It wouldn't surprise us to be raptured before morning. Amen. We're not sitting here trying to figure out what else we got to do to get the church ready. The church is ready. She's on her feet. She knows what it is. We know what to do with the word. We know who the body is. We know who's getting up. We're united with the word, and by us uniting with the word, it's uniting us with his body. This bride knows what it is. She's on her feet. She knows. The capstone has come down. We're on the ground here looking around for the dead. Because it could happen just any day now. The old song says, just any day now, our Lord is coming. He shall be returning. That's us. We're here now. This bride knows what to do with the word. We're not walking around here hoping and thinking. We take correction. We stand up. We be counted for. We know we can take correction because we're the bride. You know, the bride, she knows what it is. You can't beat the bride off. She'll come back and say, is that all you got? Amen. Come on, musicians. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your service, for your word, for being so good to us. Thank you for the uniting times and signs and what we see that's manifesting right before us. Father, we ask you to just be with us and help us to count ourselves as one of them. Not something to join or something to gather to, but Lord, I'm a believer because I believe your word.
Amen.
That's the only evidence that I need to know that I'm one of them. Thank you for this congregation, how you've blessed us so much today. Ask you to continue to touch Trevor and those that are in need of touch, the Locketts and different ones. Just ask you to be with them. Continue to be with this bride. Help us to, Lord, become one more and more with every service, with every scripture that we read. Because those things tell us who we are. Ask you to be with us and be with us until tonight when we come back one more time. Direct and keep us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for something to sing here. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. If you ever touch him, your life will never be the same. Amen. Come back tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll see what you have, what the Lord's got in store for us, because this is the body edifying the body, helping the body. And I'm loving it. I'm loving watching my elders step up and tell what it is. It's not just the preachers, it's the body. Good to see you all. Amen. You must believe when you call on his name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Oh, there is only one way to touch him. You must believe.
There's only